What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on into the Lineup Logic Podcast, daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate. Upcoming FanDuel DraftKings coming at you with the NBA DFS breakdown for Wednesday. We are looking at a 10-game slate on both sites. Really, really nice slate after last night was pretty much a disaster unless you stacked Phoenix and Chicago, which I had half of mine to do. I was like, you know what? These two defenses really suck. Fantasy value there. And that's not a half bad approach, by the way. Double bad defense. That's a good recipe for fantasy production. We got a couple games like that today. No worries, no worries. It's going to be a nice slate. Hey, listen, want to let you guys know what's upcoming. Thursday, we have the NFL player breakdown. Of course, Wednesday night, tonight, patrons, you're going to have a cheat sheet. And of course, then Friday, we'll have the NBA DFS podcast and the lineup show for you guys for your NFL slate. Now, want to bring something up real quick. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Great way to support the show. Help us keep the lights on here. You know, we're an independent podcast. It means a lot to us to have listener support. $10 a month, you can get the cheat sheets. Friday morning, start of a new month. If you're interested in getting into the, you know, NBA DFS, the NFL DFS cheat sheet upcoming for the weekend, it's a great way to get, you know, get in there. $10 for the, you get the month of December and support the show. If you're listening to the show, I appreciate the support. I just appreciate anything you're willing to throw at the show. It means a lot to me. If you're listening, so patreon.com/lineuplogic, best place to do that. Let's go ahead, though, and let's get into this 10-game slate because we got a lot to talk about. So let's take a look at what Vegas has to say about tonight. All right, the first game of the night, we got a 215 total that is dropping Pistons at Suns. And most of that is the Pistons implied for 115 points. People didn't really like that. So their total is dropping. You know, the Suns coming off the back-to-back, you can't really think that Pistons are going to drop this game. There's definitely some spots to like here, no doubt about it. But not a particularly fast-paced team in Detroit, so there's not a lot to like on the Phoenix side of things, especially on the road here. But I think we could definitely look at some Detroit pieces, and I'm sure in cash games, people always targeting the Suns, you will see them, no doubt about it, in cash lineups. Oklahoma City at Orlando, 211 total here. Thunder got to stop this skid, man. After they beat the Warriors, huge letdown. Three games in a row, they dropped them. They are only 5-point favorites, 5.5-point favorites on the road. Bounce back spot. You got to think this is a bounce back spot for Russ and the team. It's funny, the bets are kind of split right now. There's a there's some sharp money on the over here, but there's a lot of public money saying, you know, under 109 is the implied total for OKC. I don't know. I know that I like the Thunder. I think I like the Thunder assets in this situation. I think there's some good stuff to like there. Washington at the 76ers, 213 total here. 76ers favored by 5.5. Ben Simmons game time decision. That is one of the big pieces of news that we are going to be paying attention to today. If Simmons does not play, obviously you're going to have to try to fit in some JoJo into your lineups. You know, there's just no reason not to. So you really have to think about what you might do in this case that Ben Simmons doesn't play. He left that game with an ankle injury. So certainly a good opportunity to possibly get some value, but you hope that Ben Simmons plays. On the Washington side of the ball, coming off the back-to-back, they have no John Wall. We know that. So Tim Frazier starting in his place, but that didn't really work out last night. Tim Frazier didn't really get a lot of love from Scotty Brooks, but they won anyway. So it worked. Whatever it was that they did, it worked. So, you know, hard to project in this situation who's going to get minutes in relief of John Wall. They've been using a lot of Mike Scott, for example. I'm going to probably avoid, and we'll talk a little bit about Brad Beal and some of the other pieces in that lineup that could be interesting. Charlotte at Toronto, Game total is 203 in this one, 204 in this one, 106 implied for Toronto, 98 implied for the Hornets. Toronto favored by 7.5 at home. Makes a lot of good sense. And we also just found out that Kemba Walker is going to sit this one out with a shoulder injury. He entered doubtful. He is going to sit with a shoulder injury. Michael Carter-Williams will probably get some starting minutes there, but not much. Michael Carter-Williams, not exactly, you know, not exactly productive in relief of him. So you're going to probably see a little combination of guys like, you know, Nick Batum and then and even maybe Jeremy Lamb on the floor at the same time. I'm not really sure what it's going to look like. I don't know. I'd like to think that Malik Monk would get some love, but I can't really project that, you know? I mean, it would be really nice if they decided that this is a good time to let Malik Monk run the point, but he has not been playing. You know, very, very few minutes. He got 17 minutes in that Spurs game. You know, he had one blow-up spot against the Knicks, and that was it. And they rode him, and they rode the hot hand there. I think this is an interesting possibility that he could get some minutes here. I think he's probably more talented than Michael Carter-Williams at this point, but you have to think that that usage really shifts over to Jeremy Lamb and Nick Batum, and they just kind of share backcourt duties. I don't know that either one would necessarily play the point. It's a very strange situation. We don't really see the Charlotte offense really do a whole lot without Kemba. I mean, it's a problem to not have him. On the Raptors side, should be a good matchup for them. I don't mind the Raptors here. Their prices are relatively appropriate, and we'll talk about a couple Raptors in this situation. Heat at the Knicks, 203 total in this one. Pretty low total, actually. And Knicks are 2-point home dogs. Just disrespectful. Disrespectful. I mean, the Knicks are struggling for sure, but 2-point home dogs after a team that just got destroyed. Miami got destroyed by the Cavs, even without LeBron in the whole second half, basically just got annihilated there. But the Knicks, yeah, their offense is stagnant right now. I think that, you know, unless Kristaps and Tim Hardaway can do yeoman's work in scoring, they're going to struggle to create, and that's what you're seeing. That's what you're seeing in this one. So, Enes Kanter, we'll keep an eye on his injury news. We'll keep an eye on his Twitter feed to see to see if he, you know, if he's going to go after Bron anymore. Can we just talk about this, by the way? This is a pretty, I mean, KD and Russ is a pretty solid rivalry. Like, that's fierce. Like, there's some competition there. For LeBron's biggest rival to be Enes Kanter is pretty weak. Like, he needs a better rival. This is LeBron James. He needs a better rival, and not just, like, the Warriors, right? Because he doesn't actually hate the Warriors. They actually have no problem with each other, I'm sure. But Enes Kanter is just a terrible villain. Like, he is just a troll and a half. Like, get that man a bridge. He is a troll. It is amazing to see, and I support him 100%, but I think LeBron needs to, I think Bron needs to find a better villain, like someone else to play. So anyway, all right, that's enough about that. Moving on to Houston, Pacers going down to Houston. This is one of the higher totals of the night, 222. Actually, I believe it is the highest total of the night. Nope. Lakers, Warriors, highest total of the night. This is the second highest total of the night, 222. Houston, heavy home favorites, favored by 12 points here, 117 implied for them to the Pacers, 105. You have to think this Houston hot streak continues. This offense is just unbelievable. And you know, and Chris Paul, everybody's like playing 28 minutes. Like, Eric Gordon doesn't even have to play anymore. You know, James Harden's still getting a ton of minutes, which should change, but, you know, ridiculous to see how much offensive production is happening there. I think you can look at the front court specifically in this situation. I think you look at guys like Clint Capella. I'm going to probably, well, we'll talk about some of the other pieces in this game. Minnesota at New Orleans, 215-point total here. New Orleans favored by 5 at home. Minnesota coming off the back-to-back. Not exactly a great situation for them just because of the so many minutes. I mean, just insanity with their minutes. You think about why Tibbs does it this way and just runs these guys into the ground. It just really does not make any sense to me. They must be just beat up. And this total is moving in favor of the Pels. I agree with that. I think that off the back-to-back, they're going to struggle. The defense is going to be there, and I think you're going to feast with Boogie and Cat. So we'll talk about that for sure. And I think, but there's some pieces to like on the Minnesota side as well. They're just priced up. We're keeping an eye on the Jeff Teague news. If Jeff Teague sits, Tyus Jones, man, he's been unbelievable in the last couple games in relief of Jeff Teague. Really, really, really productive. So you're going to definitely have to think about possibly going with Tyus Jones, especially, well, I mean, you can only go with Tyus Jones in the situation that Jeff Teague is out. But he's been phenomenal. His price is a little bit higher now than it was, but he's been great. Memphis at San Antonio. Do you really want to play this game? I mean, I think Patty Mills is interesting. Mario Chalmers is a potential ankle injury. He's looking at a questionable tag right now. And Memphis in flux, like really, you know, struggling. So who knows what you're going to get. I mean, you can attack Memphis in the front court and they're going to get a really, really disciplined Spurs team coming off a rest. Doesn't really feel like a good situation. Or excuse me, not coming off. Are they coming off the back-to-back or are they coming off a rest? I can't remember. Did they play last night? The Spurs. No, they are coming off a rest like I thought. They played Monday night. They played Dallas. Aldridge smashed again. This is not a good spot for them. They have to go on the road to San Antonio. You have to like the matchup here. A thin Memphis team with a new coach in there. You know, maybe the coach. I don't know necessarily. You usually with a new coach, you get a little bit of a higher effort situation. I don't know necessarily how people will react to that. I don't really think that playing the Spurs in your first game back is really that useful. It's not going to create a lot of momentum. Brooklyn at Dallas, 208 total here. Dallas, this is really interesting. I mean, to see Brooklyn only implied for 101 points, that's pretty low for them. And it opened at 104, and it's since dropped. This total has dropped. I mean, the pace in Dallas is certainly not something you're interested in. They limit scoring in the paint. They've been pretty solid on the interior, just kind of making things very sticky. Not a phenomenal team, but a much probably better team than Nets as far as coaching and just personnel, quality of personnel. 208 total here, and you know, Dallas is favored by 5. I think there's a lot of pieces on the Dallas side that you could definitely get interested in, and I think the Nets we're still looking at the possibility of, you know, a number of injuries. The Rondae Hollis-Jefferson injury is going to create some Trevor Booker chalk. You also have the Caris LeVert filling in for you know all the injuries that they have in their backcourt, and D'Angelo and possibly what's his name? Oh, come on, Sean. Damari Carroll, but I think Damari Carroll is probably going to be back. Not a great matchup for him, but, you know, we'll see what Allen Crabbe, that's it, Allen Crabbe, sorry, not Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll was out with an illness, but now he's back. Allen Crabbe, so Joe Harris getting some minutes there, Caris LeVert getting some extra minutes as well. I don't know, those guys are pretty inconsistent shooters, LeVert and Harris. They're not my favorite Nets. When I have to play Nets, I'm much more interested in a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie in a plus point guard matchup. Against Dennis Smith. I think that's where I would go in this situation. But I also don't mind Dennis Smith on the upside. We'll talk about both of them. Warriors at Lakers. This is a lot. I mean, we're waiting on a lot of news. All the Lakers, you know, we've seen the KD, Steph, they're, you know, in and out of the lineup here. There's been some injuries, some nicks and bruises. You can't really think that they're that injured as much as that they are just kind of taking maintenance days for any little itty bitty thing that they are dealing with. I mean, Steph has a questionable tag for the ankle. And, you know, KD has the, I think he's got a, KD, where are you? He's got a questionable tag. Is it a knee? I believe it's a knee. You know, I mean, I was listening to Nate Duncan and Locked On, or no, excuse me, the Open Floor guys, SI guys, great podcast. And they're like, you know, the Warriors just are boring right now because they're toying with people and they're implied for 117 points. And, you know, in LA, yes, you'd love to say this is a phenomenal matchup. I think I'm interested if in a situation that you get somebody to sit, like if KD sits, like Steph becomes very interesting to me, I think. But the Lakers side is also interesting. I mean, a lot of pace, you know, not exactly high effort defense. So they're going to have to score to keep up. I think the Lakers are interesting as well because they're relatively affordable pieces there in that matchup. So that's, you know, that's a huge total. It's a 223. You can't really completely fade it. You got to have some interest and some exposure to a number like that, even if it is a Warriors possible blowout situation when they're favored by 11 on the road, which is just insanity. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into the player breakdown. Who do you love? Okay, so you guys know how this is going to go. I'm starting at the top of the slate. The first thing that you have to figure out is which studs am I going to play? Am I going to play studs? Who am I going to play and pay up for? So starting at the point guard position, it starts with Russ, 11-2 on FD, 11K on FanDuel, I may have that flip-flop. Either way, versus Orlando, they're implied for 109 points, below average pace, however, which is strange, and I think that's on OKC. Their defense has kind of created some slower pace games. Only 101 possessions. You know, Orlando, though, mediocre defense, 23rd in the NBA, or 107 defensive rating, 29th specifically in DVP to the point guard. You love that. You love that. So Westbrook, coming off those three losses in the last five, he's seen 38 minutes, 23 attempts, like just going all out, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, 2 steals, and they're still losing. Like, why? That's just a basketball conversation. I don't know what the hell is going on there. This season is possibly the biggest indictment of Russ's style of play that we have ever seen. It just doesn't work. It doesn't. And he's based on what he's doing right now, he's completely inflexible and unwilling to change, which is just, you know, like beyond me. I don't get it. Like at some point you have to be willing to say like, this is not going to get me to the promised land, and be willing to open your mind and change. I don't really know what it looks like though. It's very strange. Anyway, all right. He's taking a shit ton of shots. Huge, wonderful matchup with Orlando. They're allowing 24, 6, and 8 to the point guard position. Over 27 points allowed, you know, in the last couple games. I mean, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's as bad as Brooklyn, Phoenix, you know, and you would not fade Russ in a game against Brooklyn and Phoenix. The only thing you have here is you have a road matchup in a little bit of a lower pace than you would have against Brooklyn or Phoenix. So definitely interested in Russ. I think Steph is a nice honorable mention. I think he's a great tournament pivot. I think Russ is going to be just kind of chalk, very easy to fit him in still. He's been, you know, kind of out of his mind trying to get them out of this losing streak. I think that they do come out and smash here in this situation. And anytime Russ is in a smash, he's the kind of guy that even in a blowout situation, he's really good. I do think you have to consider a guy like Steph here in this situation against the Lakers. You know, 40-point floor, no doubt about it, in this situation, especially if we get increased usage without KD out there. So Steph is very much in play for me. I actually might prefer him over Russ. I don't know. I might prefer him over Russ just because of the ability and the flexibility that would give your lineups. But Russ has been absolutely on fire, over 60 in 3 of his last 4. So you might be overthinking that, you know, even on this cold streak. over 60 in three of his last four, and this is a phenomenal matchup for him. So moving on to shooting guard, you got Jim Jams. You got to love Jimmy Harden. Honestly, he's leading probably one of the best offenses that we have ever watched. 12-2 on FanDuel, 11-6 versus Indiana on DraftKings. Highest implied total of the night of 117. Pace is above 102, which is massive. Huge pace here in this situation. Indy's playing at a higher pace, actually, than Houston. Houston's been playing, you know, kind of middle of the road, above average, you know, in the teens, basically, in pace. 105 defensive rating, that's 17th in the NBA. DVP versus a shooting guard, that's 13. Fine, whatever. Oladipo's, a good defender. I don't think he has the size and the strength necessarily to keep up with Harden in this situation. The dude has been averaging 57 fantasy points in the last five games, 35 minutes on 21 attempts, five rebounds, eight assists. Just hammering the three. More than 10 threes per game. I think the addition of Chris Paul just creates so many, you know, spot-up shots for him where they're just saying, like, shoot. As soon as you spot up off of Chris Paul, if he creates any sort of penetration, you better shoot the ball. I mean, that's D'Antoni. If you don't shoot the ball, he's going to get pissed at you. And Harden has no problem with that. He's going to shoot the hell out of the ball. So I'd like to say that this isn't a massive blowout risk, but there is definitely a blowout scenario here in which what happens is Oladipo gets slowed down by Ariza, and they can't generate a lot of scoring, and Indiana falls behind because Houston hits the three, and all of a sudden it's a 15-point game in the middle of the second quarter, and you know it's 55 to 35 at halftime. You know, that kind of scenario feels possible because you're not going to outshoot the Rockets. You have to slow them down and you have to stop them from making their threes, and you have to contest. And I just don't necessarily trust their defense, especially in the paint. I mean, if they want to get to the paint, they can. You can score a shit ton of points in the paint on the Indiana, no doubt about it. So, I think it's a great spot. I mean, he's had some really good matchups, so I think his price is a little bit inflated. I mean, Brooklyn and the Knicks. Indy's definitely a better defensive team. I think just generally possibly a better team in some phases. Maybe not than the Knicks, but similar, you know. And I think you do worry about a little bit of a blowout risk at home here. And Houston, but you know, Houston's defense isn't great either. So you could, you know, we were all terrified of the blowout risk against Brooklyn, and then all of a sudden, you know, he scores 34 points or whatever in the first half, and then Brooklyn climbs back into it, and you know, Houston let him, and so he has to play the full game. So there wasn't any blowout potential there. So you know, I mean, don't overthink it. He's an elite play. KD versus LA is very interesting. It's a great spot. I mean, if he plays, I think, you know, he's one of the better. He's just one of the easier values, easier studs to fit in at 10K in that price. He just hasn't been scoring much. Really hasn't popped lately. Hasn't really had to go for over 50 points. Hasn't really had to put too much stress on himself. Plus the knee, they may take it easy with him. I don't think you don't have a total in this game yet. As of making these notes, I didn't have a total. I just don't know necessarily that you need him. I do like him, obviously, against a team like LA, you know, fast-paced game. He does a lot of his scoring in transition, fast breaks, off turnovers. You know, Draymond does more, but I don't mind KD in this situation. I just don't necessarily think that he is a lock and load. I think it's more, and we don't even know if he's going to play. So you move on to power forward and center, where everyone is going to be talking about Boogie and the Brow. 10-8 for Anthony Davis versus Minnesota, and Boogie is 10-9. Anthony Davis 10-8 on and DraftKings as well, and Boogie is 11K on DraftKings. So let's talk about him. I always talk about him in pairs. 115 implied total, second highest total on the slate. Very solid pace, above average. Minnesota is a mixed bag in the front court. very solid against the power forward, very bad against the center. Makes sense. Taj is a solid defender. Towns is a freaking turnstile. They will trade paint responsibilities, paint duties in this situation. And really, you know, I mean, whoever gets Towns on certain possessions, whoever gets help side from Towns or whatever the case may be, is going to be able to score. I mean, that just is the facts. This is what Carl Anthony Towns lets you do. So AD averaging 46 fantasy points in the last five, but, you know, that number is depressed because there was a really bad blowout in Denver when she left for a little while. You know what I mean? So there's a depressed number on the season. He's averaging 55 fantasy points. So he's right on price target. He's getting 32 minutes, 16 attempts, 11 rebounds, 2 assists. He had 55 last time out against Minnesota. The problem was that Boogie had 70. Now, why did Boogie have 70? It's not because he made more shots or scored that many more points or anything like that. He had 6 steals and 3 blocks. Whoa. So 27 extra fantasy points just on those alone, which is well above average. I mean, that's insanity. Like, those are ceiling situations, and Boogie has had a couple of those games, but 6 steals and 3 blocks is not really a sustainable number. He's been averaging 2 and 2, which is great. I mean, if you're going to get 12 points from peripherals in that way every single night, you love that. That's part of the reason why he has a ceiling, because he's elite in that that way. You know, but the difference between AD and Boogie is also comes through the assists. And Boogie averages 4 a game. He also will shoot the 3. Davis won't do those. Davis has been soaking up more rebounds. He's been playing a lot closer to the rim. So the question you have to ask yourself is, you know, who gets who? You have to think that Cat goes out to the perimeter to try and deal with Boogie. He's younger. He's a little bit faster. He's got a little bit more weight on him. He's younger. He's a little bit faster. That's where I'll go with that, because I don't really know from a size. He does have more weight on him than Taj, right? I mean, Taj is what, 6'9", 220, 230? Cat's a little bit bigger. So you have to, I mean, I can't, it's really hard. You're splitting hairs here. I know a lot of, in these situations, a lot of people just go with both of them, you know, and that's not crazy. I mean, who is to say that they're not both going to score as much as Russell Westbrook? And if you have 11K for both of them, you know, why wouldn't you? You know, if you're going to spend 11K on Russ, why wouldn't you spend 11K on Boogie? I don't really necessarily see the range of outcomes that much different. I mean, if you're saying, well, Russ could go for 65, yeah, he definitely could. Yeah, he absolutely could. They could also blow out the Magic, who have been, you know, pretty bad. And the Pelicans really haven't blown anybody out. So I think that this is a little bit more of an even matchup between them and Minnesota. And I think that, you know, if you want to go with both of them, then try to jam them in there and see how you feel about that. The issue that you will have is that you're possibly fading some other options at center, like JoJo, who if Ben Simmons is out, I mean, Joel Embiid is almost a must-have, especially against Washington, and let's talk a little bit about that. You know, Marcin Gortat is not exactly an elite defender. We're not necessarily scared of him in this situation, and we have seen, you know, Embiid, even with a slow start in that Cleveland game, he really bounced back. Now, I do think that we're seeing a little bit of a slowdown. He's been getting, you know, closer to 30 minutes. They're not pushing him, you know, and we're not going to see anything close to what he did in that road trip in L.A., you know, no doubt about it. But I think it's very reasonable to expect him in this situation to go for over 40, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, he averaged over a fantasy point per minute in that first game against Washington, only played 26 minutes and had 37 fantasy points, went for 18 and 13. And I think that that's of a very reasonable baseline for him here. If you're saying 37 fantasy points over 28 minutes, great. He's 9'9". How do I get him up to, how do I get him up closer to 50? Over 45, basically, that's not crazy. If you get him, especially with no Simmons, if you get him to 32, 33 minutes here, I think that makes good sense. I think you could get a lot of good scoring, and we know what kind of ceiling he has, no doubt about it. So, you know, there's a lot of spots out here that you really have to like from a matchup perspective. I mean, the Andre Drummond matchup is phenomenal against the Suns. You know, he should be able to do quite a bit of rebounding damage there. 22 in his last game against Boston. But, you know, that's... I don't know. It's kind of up to how you want to do your studs. If you want to get both of them, both Anthony Davis and Boogie in there, I think that that makes a lot of good sense to me. That's where I was going with all that. Anyway. All right, let's move on to the grout. Mid-price guys, anywhere below 8K here. We're talking in that, you know, 6 to 8K range. How do you fill in? You're going to need a couple of these guys in your lineups. You always do. I think Dragic versus the Knicks is really, really appealing. He had a total dud last night against, against Cleveland. And it was supposed to be a good spot, but he did get in foul trouble. They got roasted. I think it's a good night to go back to him. Knicks are 20th in overall in defensive rating, 27th in DVP to the point guard. We've seen them continuously give up, you know, production, especially in the peripheral department, his steals and assists and stuff like that. You know, the back-to-back data is... there's not a lot in 2017 to tell us how Dragic performs in this situation. But we've seen him be aggressive in a couple of his recent matchups here. 17, 14 shots against Boston and Minnesota respectively. A Minnesota matchup was a favorable one, and he almost put up 40 points in that game. So if you're saying you're looking for a guy who has upside and when he has the opportunity to score at an above average level, I think Dragic is a really, 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 really key piece. And I think he's well priced. He's very, very reasonably priced. So I think you definitely look at a guy like Dragic as a possible grout play here. I do want to talk a little bit about Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry versus Charlotte is really interesting, especially now with no Kemba. You might get Michael Carter-Williams or Malik Monk, and Lowry just is one of those guys. He's a very wide range of outcomes, and he's at a price point that nobody really wants to pay. You don't really force him into your cash game lineups because you're not going high-low. 8K is not really – you kind of like you can't play Russ and Kyle Lowry in the same lineup, right? And with a wide range of outcomes of like 32 fantasy points, very possible, people – get off of Lowry because it's much easier to talk yourself into going high-low with Russ and, you know, a cheapie. But he's a great tournament play. I mean, he has a 50-point ceiling, and he has a plus matchup against a second-string point guard at home. Toronto's been excellent at home. They're an average team defensively, Charlotte is, but they allow the three. And they pack the paint, and they try to soak up the rebounds, and they allow the three. They've always allowed, you know, backcourt players to do more damage than they have in the front court. So certainly an interesting spot for Kyle Lowry. I think he goes a little bit under owned. I don't know if I'll go with him in cash. Two guys that I would consider in cash, very similar price point to Dragic, Spencer Dinwiddie and Dennis Smith Jr. Now, Dinwiddie is 7K on FanDuel and Smith is 5,800. Now, Dennis Smith was getting a ton of run. He was getting over 30 minutes, and then he started to struggle, and I think Carlisle said, okay, wait, this is a rookie, I need to slow this down. He's getting, you know, he's putting up too many shots, he's not taking great shots, whatever the case may be. He's, you know, the offense is stagnant, because maybe he's just not really making great plays, and they got some guys back, and that kind of things. So he's really only getting about 28 minutes. Now, Dinwiddie is only, because the Nets really don't get that much more than 30 minutes apiece. That's really because they want to run that pace. They really don't let their guys run too much more than 30 minutes. So they're both getting about 30 minutes. They're scoring effectively and respectively. It's a plus matchup. One guy against the other, like Dallas versus the point guard has been very bad. It's a plus matchup for Dinwiddie. And in the reverse is true too. I mean, we've been targeting Brooklyn at the point guard position, no doubt about it. I mean, I think the problem that you have is that their prices are pretty aggressive. You have, you know, two guys who just aren't really that, there's not a lot of meat on the bone there with Dinwiddie, who if he doesn't score is gonna probably be closer to 25 fantasy points, and that's a total letdown. Like, that is, you know, at 7K, you can't you can't do 25 fantasy points. You're paying the price that he, for the numbers that he put up in that Portland game. And there's not enough pace here. There's not enough. I mean, against Dallas, this is a slow paced team, decent defense. That concerns me. And I think the same goes for Dennis Smith. I mean, with a team like, you know, with a team like Dallas, you're always liable to, you know, he's been getting up shots, but if he doesn't make them, he probably won't see the floor as much. He's gone as low as 21 minutes in the last five. 28 minutes has kind of been the ceiling for him, and you know, and he may get up 20 shots. He may get up 15, 20 shots. But he doesn't do a ton else. Like, you know, just last game, you know, one or two rebounds. He doesn't do a ton of rebounding. He'll throw some turnovers in there for sure, no doubt about it. So it's not quite the same guy that we were targeting, you know, in mid-November when he was on that hot streak scoring, you know, 30, 40 points a game. But he's solid. I think it's an interesting play. I probably prefer Smith than I do to Dinwiddie just because of the you know, the price. And if he gets you 25 or 30, you're not nearly as hurt by that as you would be by Dinwiddie. At shooting guard, Bradley Beal and Victor Oladipo, both there in the 8K range. You're gonna see a lot of people talking about them today. Similar price, high total, high usage guys. You know, over 30% usage. Key pieces to their offense. Of course, Beal has appeal. The absence of Wall is definitely nice. Last night's dud matchup issue, Jimmy Butler. They just said take away Bradley Beal, and he did. Problem is that Minnesota still lost, which makes no sense. But Butler is a problem, and if you don't have John Wall to collapse the defense, push the pace, you're not going to have as many easy buckets for Bradley Beal. Now, at that price with 30%+ usage, you have to really like that. The issue that I have is that I have to think that tonight he will get the same small forward treatment from Bob Cove that Jimmy gave him. And Bob Cove is a very good defender. There is zero reason, not zero reason. I mean, I guess they could put, the problem is like you see it breaking out and it's either Simmons or Bob Covington. Because think about this, okay? You hide Redick on, what's his name? You hide Redick on Tim Frazier. Fine. JJ can guard Tim Frazier. That's where you exploit the 76ers is on Redick. It's not that he's a bad defender. It's just that he's kind of lost a step and he's undersized, compared to a lot of these guys, you know? And so you hide Redick on Frazier. You put Cove on, Beal, you put Simmons on Porter or some combination thereof, right? Simmons and Covington guard Porter and Beal basically to take away two of the primary scorers. You get Saric on Morris and then JoJo on Gortat. That's not ideal. And I think that that's probably how they run it out. I think that that's how they run it out because you don't have John Wall to create that one massive lopsided mismatch where you can't hide Redick. You have to put Redick on Bradley Beal, because you can't put Redick on Porter and you can't put Redick on Walls, that kind of thing. So that's what I worry about. Now, similarly, Depot, he's got a little bit of a more favorable matchup, massive total here. And he has been actually, according to Fantasy 5x5, one of my favorite websites, by the way, fantasy5x5.com. Depot's been better on the road, which is a really interesting split. I mean, he's going to see 30 minutes. He's going to see 30% usage. He's been an elite shooter right now. He's been great at defending, which is why his price is so high, because he's been getting massive numbers of steals and blocks. Now, are those easy to project? No. And Houston does turn the ball over, but it's not necessarily an offense that we target for poor, sloppy, you know, offensive play. You have Chris Paul and James Harden. Guys can handle the ball really, really well, you know, and you know, you don't really see a guy like Trevor Ariza turning the ball over a ton. This isn't, you know, Marquise Chris. I think the issue that I have is exactly that, Trevor Ariza. So a couple days ago, I said Tyreek Evans, great spot, high total against the Rockets, no doubt about it. What happens? I watched the entire game, and the whole time, every time Tyreek Evans gets the ball on the wing, Ariza is just sagging back on him a little bit, enough to keep him out of the paint, fighting over the top of screens. And Evans just takes 3-4 dribbles, tries to find a little bit of a lane, nothing there, no window, can't do it. I think Oladipo is going to struggle there too. I don't think he's going to be able to beat Ariza off the dribble. Ariza has a little bit of length on him. Ariza's still a good defender. You take away Oladipo because you don't have to guard Bojan Bogdanović with Ariza. So if Oladipo isn't getting out in transition and getting easy buckets off of steals, which we're not necessarily saying that he's going to do like he did against Orlando, who is also a terrible rebounding team, which allows them to run the break a little bit more, I think it's hard for me to love them at this price, especially when you go down a little bit to a guy like DeMar DeRozan. I mean, this is an amazing price for DeMar DeRozan. You talk about a guy with a 40-50 point ceiling. He's 7,100. Now, I know he's dealing with an injury, but this is a great tournament play. I mean, he's cheap. He has massive upside, and he's a pivot away from those two guys up there in the 8Ks. Matchup with Charlotte is a plus. You're not going to have Kemba Walker out there. They're at home. He's been excellent at home. They allow 24 points to the position, 19-plus attempts. That's like 23rd, 24th in the league. It's not exactly a bad matchup. I think Batum is a problem, but not terrible. Jeremy Lamb doesn't really scare me. They traditionally are going to allow scoring to the shooting guard. I mean, Charlotte has always allowed that. So I think it's an interesting spot for DeRozan, no doubt about it. We've seen some big games from him here, too. And the great thing about DeRozan is if he can get to the free throw line, which Charlotte's a pretty disciplined team, they're not going to foul him a ton. But I think he gets to the free throw line, he gets you those free points to create a little bit of a floor, especially at home. Avery Bradley versus the Suns is going to be one of the most popular cash game plays that there is. He's super cheap. He's been getting over 35 minutes, a peach matchup, team coming off of back-to-back. We just saw Holiday destroy them. I think you fade Avery Bradley at your own risk. Just the way that he has been playing, he hasn't been doing a ton of scoring, but this is a situation where he certainly could do more scoring. And given his minutes and how much Van Gundy trusts him, this is a really good spot. This is also a great spot for him to, get a flex a little bit of defense. 9 steals per game, that's second worst in the league. That's how many steals that the Suns allow. Bradley's been averaging 2 per game. So I think this is a good spot for Bradley to get you those steals and put up some shots and feel comfortable at home, in a good matchup with Detroit. I like that spot a lot for Avery Bradley, and I think I won't be the only one. I mentioned Nick Batum. He is underpriced, and that's a really good price for Nick Batum. I mean, this is a guy who stuffs the stat sheet. You're talking about like 16. He has a possibility to go like 16, 8, and 8, that kind of thing. That's a kind of stat line that Nick Batum can put up on a good night. I'm concerned about the elbow. It limited his minutes the other day. He did not shoot well. He aggravated it. It's not exactly an injury that you want on a shooter. I don't know. I could be overthinking it, but it just kind of scares me. I mean, if you need a reason to not play him, I think that's my reason. Tim Hardaway Jr., though, 6,100, if he gets Waiters defense, I'm all over that. I have no problem with THJ against Deion Waiters. Waiters is bad, and we've seen shooting guards dice up this Miami team. Now, is it possible that Joshie Richardson shifts over to him? It is. It's very possible. And Josh Richardson is an elite defender. That's what he does. He just does defense. That's it. Are you going to waste Josh Richardson on Courtney Lee? So one of those guys is going to go off. Miami, as in general, slower, higher defense team. So kind of makes me a little bit concerned about him. But I love that price on THJ. 6,100. You start paying attention. All right, that's it. Shooting guard. It's small forward. I think you got to start with a little bit of Jimmy Buckets versus the Pels. This is where you attack this team. You attack this team on the wing. I prefer Jimmy Butler to Andrew Wiggins because if Andrew Wiggins doesn't score, he's not going to do much else. That's it. If he misses shots, that's it. Now, he could score, but he's 6,800 on FanDuel. I don't know. I mean, that's your over 30 points is very reasonable for him. I don't think it's crazy. But Jimmy versus the Pels, I think it's interesting. You attack them on the wing. He's been really good. They've played bad defense in New Orleans. One of the higher totals on the night. You know, in his last five, he's taken 17-plus shots. That's awesome. The shot attempts are up. The assists are up. Teague really gave him an assist boost last night. They ran the offense through him. Even though Tyus Jones was very good, I think Jimmy created a lot more offense, and Tibbs is comfortable letting him create, especially without Teague on the floor. Now, that appeals to me. If we get no Teague, Jimmy might be one of my favorite plays, especially in tournaments. Now, I think the hard part with him in cash is that he's pretty expensive, and he needs to go for over 40 points, which is something that he very well could do in this matchup. We saw Paul George smash here. But he also, you know, he can take a back seat. And if Wiggins gets hot, that kind of thing, then Jimmy, you know, is fine only taking 10-12 shots. You want him to take 18 shots. And last time he was here, he took 18 shots. He scored 23 points. But the game was relatively low scoring. I mean, they didn't score. The Pelicans only scored 98 points. 98 to 104. That's pretty low scoring. You would expect probably about 20 more points just on the whole for that total here based on what we're seeing hit the under in the last time. So I don't think it hits the under again. You're going to see some bad defense on both sides. You're going to see some pace here. You could definitely see a much higher scoring game, 110s, 120s. At least I hope so. And if that's the case, then Jimmy's going to be doing some scoring. It's kind of how do you project? They haven't been good off the back-to-back. That's the one thing I will say. Fantasy 5x5, they're going to get the minutes, but they have not been very good off the back-to-back. And it makes sense. If you play 40 minutes on the road and then you go back out on the road and you play again 40 minutes, you don't have legs, which is just bananas. I mean, Popovich won't even play like guys 24 minutes on a back-to-back. And Tibbs is out here doubling down on that. That's Tibbs going full YOLO there for you. Harrison Barnes is really appealing to me. I think he's one of the guys that was just the price, the matchup, the usage, everything fits for me. I really like him at 6'5 here. He's been a little bit up and down, but like up and down for Harrison Barnes means anywhere between 25 and 35 points. He's a very, very clear floor. You know, a couple of tough matchups too. I mean, OKC, the Spurs, those slowed him down a little bit. Dropped this price just a touch. I really like this price. This is right where he is. Terrible Nets team. Very banged up, high pace, Barnes at home. You know, he is getting the most minutes on the Mavericks of everybody. Carlisle just says, you go play 35, 36 minutes. That's great. I mean, you love 36 minutes against the Nets. You love this price point for him. I think this is a really solid small forward play. Small forward is rough. When you don't have Braun, small forward is always a little bit tight. And I don't, you know, I don't mind Robert Covington, but Robert Covington is kind of in a shooting slump. And if he's in a shooting slump, then he's not going to pay off that price. You know, he really struggled. If he's going to struggle to hit the three, then he's going to really struggle. And you haven't seen him get over 30 points, and he just isn't going to shoot. I mean, he took 11 shots the other night and only hit one. You know, he has to score. And if he's not scoring, then there's really no point in playing him. I mean, he is two of his last five games, he has had under 10 points. And that's a massive issue. That's a massive issue. So he's not going to get to the free throw line. You know, he's going to get the peripherals, but it just kind of scares me. So I don't know how much I love Bob Cove in this situation. I want to see him, you know, maybe bounce back out of that slump. If you want to be early on him, then I think that makes sense. You know, Washington is not a terrible matchup on the wings, for him. I think it's an interesting spot, to go there. But I prefer Barnes. I think that Barnes is one of the better you know mid tier plays on the slate. You know, at 6'5", you just love that price. And then it's kind of value, guys. Although, wait, no, Bob Covet 6'2", that's not bad. Especially if you get no Simmons. I think that Bob Covet's very, very much in play if you get no Simmons. Because he's just going to have to do more scoring. And hopefully he'll try to get to the rim, maybe get to the line a little bit, create a little bit more in some of the other categories. I don't mind Brandon Ingram against Golden State, but I'm not really a Brandon Ingram guy. I just think that his price is very reasonable. And I think that if you have a high-paced game where possibly no Kevin Durant, you have a guy in Brandon Ingram who has been relatively consistent. I mean, a pretty good, solid range of outcomes for Ingram. You know, in the last five games, he has not dropped below, 23 fantasy points. Okay, fine. Against the Clippers, he had 23, but only across 22 minutes. Now, part of that was because of the knee soreness, and they didn't really let him play that much because of the knee soreness. But if you get word that he has no minutes limit, I think you could really fire him up here. I mean, he has been really, really good in games when he's getting over 30 minutes. That's when you really see him. He's about a fantasy point per minute. That's when you really see him go wild. So I think if you get, Brandon Ingram will not have a minutes restriction type news, then yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. I like that. I like that price, and I don't mind the pace up matchup. And I think it's a safe floor type play. It's above 25 points. Last year I would never have said that about Ingram because I just didn't trust him, but his role is very different this year. And I think Lonzo takes a lot of pressure off of him. Kristaps versus the Heat is very interesting. I mean, he has struggled though in the last couple games. It makes sense. You know, Portland almost completely blew them out. They protect the paint insanely well. They have a lot of front court length. The Raptors protect the paint very well. As also, the Raptors just have their number. The Heat, though, coming off the back-to-back, they're an above-average defensive team, and they just got shredded by a stretch center and Kevin Love. You have to think that Spo is going to figure out how to make sure that doesn't happen again. That's what I kind of worry about. Like, I trust Eric Spoelstra to figure this out and not let it happen again, to just say, take away Porzingis. Let's take away Porzingis. Let's make Tim Hardaway's life hard. No one else on this team can beat us. And that's true. When you run into this, it's basically because you don't have someone. When you run into a good Porzingis game, it's because they don't have an answer for him. And he is such a matchup headache that you don't have an answer for him. But I think that they do. I mean, the combination of the combination of Justice Winslow and help side with Whiteside, that's real. I think KP could struggle, but I do like his price quite a bit. I mean, on DK at 8,200, that's nice. He really hasn't dropped below 40 fantasy points in a while, so I don't mind that at all. I think FanDuel is a little bit harder to justify. Because he hasn't hit 40, or excuse me, he's flirted with 40 in his couple matchups, and you're just not quite there. You'd like to see his price drop. Maybe 8.6 would be the time when I would jump right back on, which we haven't really seen that price from him. 8,900 is pretty much the lowest price that we've seen, and he's going to come at high ownership, no doubt about it. But I don't mind this spot. I don't mind this spot. I think if he can get some rebounds, that's when you really like him. But Miami, solid, decent defense. I think it's definitely tournaments only. Because Whiteside doesn't go out to the perimeter. I mean, that's what happened here. So if you can beat Justice Winslow over the top just because you're so much longer than him, although Winslow, very athletic, he's going to challenge him for sure, make his life very difficult, be a pain in his ass. But I think if you get any Whiteside, you love that. You love Whiteside trying to go out on the five there. He just can't do it. Tobias Harris, 6,700. I hate that price. It's just kind of one of those prices that just doesn't do it for me. I mean, it's just kind of just a little bit too much. I want him closer to 6K. Anything below 6.5, I'm okay with. You're paying a premium for Harris because he just absolutely destroyed the other night in Boston, you know, he went off for 31 points, just raw points. He was phenomenal. So you're paying that price for him. And the thing you like about him is that he's got, you know, massive minutes. He's consistently taking about 15 shots per game. He's taking the threes per game. He's over 20% usage regularly. He has Van Gundy's trust, which is not something that's very easy. Why you don't like him is because if he doesn't score 20 points, you know, you're probably looking at just 30 fantasy points, like, or 27. That is very, very reasonable for Tobias Harris. Now, the matchup is phenomenal. If he gets Marquise Chris, it's just, you just have to love that. But my guess is that he'll get a little bit more TJ Warren. And I think that that's a little bit more problematic. Although Harris is much bigger than TJ Warren. He's a lot bigger than you think, in general. So not a bad spot for him. I think that he's hard. I never get him right. So he's hard for me to feel comfortable with. At center, Clint Capella, man. You guys know I love Clint Capella. He's got the Pacers. We attack the Pacers in the paint all year. He's going to do it tonight. I don't mind the price. I think he's at a reasonable price given the floor. Like, he has just been so consistent. You love the consistency. You have to think that, you know, 7'4", 7'6" on FanDuel. You have to think that he is easily over 35 fantasy points in a very plus matchup. He rarely disappoints. Unless, you know, he doesn't get the minutes, which is not something that happens very often. But he does max out minutes-wise. He maxes out at 28 minutes. And now that they have Chris Paul back and this rotation is deeper, he maxes out at 28 minutes. And, you know, even against the Nets, 28 minutes and 35 fantasy points. You just kind of want him to push over that. But you do love the fantasy. You do love the consistency that you get from Capella. Plus matchup with the Pacers. Nobody allows more paint, you know, scoring in the paint. You know, in his last five, he's had 32 FanDuel points on 9 attempts and 10 rebounds. Now, one of those was a total blowout. The thing about it is that in his ceiling games, he rebounds the hell out of the ball. And Indiana is not a bad rebounding team, but they're really bad in the front court. You know, they're very average rebounding team. They're dead middle of the league, but they are exploitable in the paint. And we know Turner is exploitable in the paint. It's been an issue for them. Nobody allows more scoring in the paint than Indiana. It's hard not to like him here in a situation. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, 48 points allowed in the paint. We saw Vooch smash here. Capella is certainly in a nice spot as well. But the problem is, again, JoJo. If you have JoJo, if you have to play JoJo, which you might have to play JoJo because of Ben Simmons, then, you know, you can't get Capella. But I think Capella is a really nice mid-range option. I never have a problem with him. He's one of my favorite, you know, kind of mid-tier centers on a regular basis. Other than that, at the center position, you know, Steven Adams, I think Steven Adams is in a great spot. You know, 5,600 for a guy who you just want him to rebound. You just want the rebounds. And when he gets double-digit rebounds, he is excellent. And this is a bad rebounding team, you know, and that's great news. That's really good news. I mean, and in competitive games, in some of the more competitive games recently, he's been getting, you know, over 30 minutes. He got rested on the back-to-back against the Mavs. He got limited there. But other than that, pretty effective. You just have to have the rebounds from him. At 5,600, though, if you can get those rebounds, man, he is definitely worth taking a risk on. I think he's a guy that, you know, could have 35 fantasy points, no doubt about it, if he gets that double-double going easily. So I have no problem with Steven Adams at 5,600. I never mentioned Andre Drummond. I like Andre Drummond, obviously. You know, I mean, he's just, he's been an animal. And you love attacking Phoenix in the paint. I think that that's been a place that we can definitely go after them. They're right up there with Indiana in points allowed in the paint. So definitely a good spot to go after them. Moving on to the bargain basement. Here we go. 5'5" and below. You're going to hear a lot of people interested in Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson. I would prefer Ish. He's 3,800 on FanDuel, which is just insane. 20 minutes possibly against Phoenix, because Jackson just doesn't get more than 28 minutes. And I think it's possibly the knee. It's possibly because Ish is actually good. But you get a almost min-price guy who's going to get 20 minutes against some of the worst point guard defense, especially bench defense here. Possible, you know, he would take over in a blowout situation, that kind of thing. So he's much more appealing to me than Reggie Jackson. But if Reggie Jackson could come out and smash and just, like, he could have 10 assists in the first half. He's just really hard to project with those minutes. It's really, really – he's had some amazing games in very limited time. You just – you get concerned with the lack of consistent minutes at that price. So you kind of can't project him too comfortably. Whereas with Ish, you take a risk because he's so cheap and you don't need that much to pay off. And if he pays off, then he's going to probably pay off big. Rondo versus Minnesota at 4,800. He is interesting. He's another minutes issue though. You know, only 20 minutes or so, kind of coming off the bench, not playing a huge amount of minutes. If he gets going, Minnesota allows massive scoring to the point guard. That's a really, really good situation. You know, and we know he's going to rebound. We know he's going to get assists. Question is he going to score? And if he scores, then you really have a ceiling opportunity. We saw this last year with Chicago. I mean, if he starts scoring, then you have like a 50-point Rondo game, and you can always be on alert for a 50-point Rondo game. Tim Frazier versus the 76ers. Obviously, he's in play. You know, Michael Carter-Williams also similarly in play. I don't think I will do – I would do Tim Frazier over Michael Carter-Williams. There's just no way Tim Frazier plays as badly as he did last night, right? I mean, I don't know. But I'm probably not trusting it. I'm going to be skeptical. Add shooting guard, it's thin. I mean, I don't mind Wes Matthews, and I've talked about Wes Matthews before, but against Brooklyn, you know, poor defense. He's a great shooter. If he catches fire, I think he's a really interesting tournament play. There, Wes Matthews is going to shoot the three. He's 5K. He's going to get minutes. He's going to get 30 minutes in this on this team. Etwan Moore versus Minnesota. We've been attacking them at the two. We've been attacking Wiggins there all the time. He's cheap. He's fine if you have to, like, if you love your lineup, he's the kind of guy that you're like, all right, I'll plug him in. You know, and you just hope he gets you 20. Just get me 20. Caris LeVert, his price is up. And I'm not a LeVert guy. And especially if we know that, what's his name is back at the three, DeMar Carroll. I don't think you have to have LeVert in your lineups. He was in a decent spot when he was 4K against the Rockets, but 4'8" against a slow paced Dallas team. Not as interesting as it was against the Rockets. Now, that said, that's where you attack Dallas, is in the backcourt. You know, that they are certainly susceptible to some scoring in the backcourt, and he's cheap. He's another option that you can fill in there, no doubt about it. I think it's okay. It's not my favorite. There's other guys on this Nets team that I would prefer. You know, Spencer Dinwiddie, I would prefer. I would prefer Trevor Booker, you know, that kind of thing. So that's kind of where I'm at with the Nets value guys. Caris LeVert's not that high on my list, which leads me to Joe Harris, a team that allows the three, and he's only 4K. He total disappointment in that Houston game, but, you know, he should be able to shoot the ball at will. You know, he's cheap. He's getting almost 30 minutes. I don't mind him if he catches fire. With those guys who are that cheap who can shoot, you have like a thin margin where, you know, one three is like almost 1x value, you know? So it's like he could be flirting with, you know, 4, 5, 6x very easily if he just starts to hit a couple extra threes. Stanley Johnson, though, is one of the more popular guys. He's pretty cheap. He's getting 30 minutes versus Phoenix. That's great. Johnson needs easy buckets. They're going to turn the ball over a lot. He's a transition guy. He's a hustle guy. He's not necessarily someone you want to play in a tough matchup. He's a guy who you want to play in an easy, fast-paced matchup where he can get good, clean looks at the rim. And I think this is a good spot for Johnson to do so. Evan Fournier, though, at 5'2", is just so cheap. I mean, I didn't really know we would see him at this price. Like, that's just craziness. It's an insane price for a starter's minutes, a guy who has a 40-point ceiling. The real question that you have to worry about is it the calf? Has his terrible performances of late just been because of the calf strain? He's just not 100%. It's bothering him. That's what I worry about when you don't know if a guy's playing through pain. It's like the Batum thing. If you don't know, do you want to risk it? Similarly, well, same team, John Simmons. I think Simmons, if he's back on the starting lineup, he got 30 minutes the other day. I like him a lot. I mean, he's been taken over. He's cheaper than Fournier, 4'6". I don't mind that price at all. He's, you know, kind of a do-it-all guy. He can play some defense. He's probably going to be needed. I could see 30 minutes from him in this situation. The problem is the matchup. This isn't exactly a plus matchup. You'd much prefer him in a little bit more of an easy matchup. You know, Paul George, if he has to go up against Paul George, it's not exactly ideal. Boyan, always in play. 30 minutes for a guy who, you know, is only 4'5". He's always an option. He's always an option if he fits your lineup. At power forward, Taj is the same as Boyan. Like, just, you know, guys who are starters who are this cheap, for whatever reason, the price hasn't adjusted. He's minutes. He's just one of the better cash plays out there. He's easy to fit. He's easy to project. New Orleans doesn't have a good defense. He's going to be needed in this matchup against, you know, against his front court. So Taj for sure. But I really, really like Larry Nance tonight. I love, you know, we know Golden State allows scoring in the paint. We know that Larry Nance is back, but his price hasn't adjusted to full starters minutes. He played really, really well. In his first game back, I think Larry Nance is a really, really nice, plug and play. At center, not a lot that I love. I have to be honest with you. I think if we get some, you know, we get some value news, there's just not that much that I'm interested in at center that's a value piece, especially when you have a slate with, you know, Boogie in a really good matchup, Drummond in a really good matchup, Adams, Capella, all those guys in really good matchups. The only guy that you could possibly talk yourself into is Gortat, but I don't really want to talk myself into Gortat. I think the one interesting, the continued emergence of Alex Len is just, like, ridiculous. Like, this guy is just getting so much run from Triano, and he was phenomenal last night. I mean, it's kind of crazy to know how much, to see how many minutes Alex Len has been getting. So he's interesting in this situation. It's not a great matchup against Phoenix, but he's been really good. He's been really, really good. So we'll see. It's hard to project those minutes, though, in the front court. Remember, Triano is a guy who will play the hot hand. So that's not ideal. You don't really want a hot hand approach out there. So that's not really my favorite matchup, or excuse me, my favorite thing to try to project. There's only a couple guys on the Suns that I play for that reason. But that's it, guys. That's the bargain basement. Hopefully you got all the information that you needed. Let's head over to FanDuel. I'll give you a sense of how things kind of shake out for lineup construction. All right, so if we're looking tonight, you got to start with, I think, you got to start with your two studs. I think it's a two stud kind of night. And the question is do you want to do Boogie and AD, or do you want to do, do you want to do Boogie and AD, or do you want to do Russ and one of those guys? So I think let's go Russ. My initial reaction was Russ and Anthony Davis. Okay, that means I'm going to need some value, right? This is kind of always how I do it. I always start with, you know, my high lows. And then, you know, so I'm good with a guy like Ish Smith. Like, I have no problem with Ish Smith at 3,800. I think people will be interested in him. I don't have an issue with that. I, you know, the only other guy that I might consider in that range is Rondo. Yeah, but that's it. And then let's say, you know, I'm also going to take a guy, a value guy that I really, really like in Larry Nance. I really like him. Trevor Booker is the same price. If you prefer Trevor Booker, that's fine. You know, and I don't mind Trevor Booker. Dallas has been a little bit rough in the front court. I just don't necessarily see Trevor Booker, you know, the minutes, like, you get 20 minutes. If he gets 30 minutes, that's amazing. But, like, how many minutes is he going to get? I don't know how many minutes he's going to get. You know, Nance, I know, is going to get 28, 30 minutes. So I like Larry Nance in this situation. I think you can also take one cheap small forward. So you take one of those cheap small forwards. You know, you go down to the Jonathan Simmons range. Jonathan Simmons, Boyan, Joe Harris, Stanley Johnson. Stanley Johnson's just the easiest, I think. So I'll go to Johnson right here at 4K. You know, and now I think the only other piece that I know that I really, really, really want is Avery Bradley. Now, if I feel like I have too many, I feel like I can, you know, if I have too many Pistons, then I think you can pivot. But Bradley's one of the ones that I would keep. I would pivot off of Smith or Johnson in this situation. So then I have three spots. I have shooting guard, small forward, and center, and I have grout pricing type guys left. So the question is really, like, what do you want to do at center? Like, I can fit in Joel Embiid if I go down and I take some value guys. And, like, this is a possibility. You have 5,100, you know, and then you need to take, you know, some guys in the 5K range. Like, you could do a Caris LeVert. You could do a Wesley Matthews. You could do a, you know, Lance Stevenson has been getting a ton of run. You could do Evan Fournier. Lance Stevenson, this is just insanity. What he's been doing off the bench is just craziness. But huge floor, like terrible floor, like 8-point floor, not consistent at all. So that's not exactly appealing. But let's say maybe you go down to a guy like a Nick Batum, then you have 4,500 at the other small forward, and that leaves you with like a Boyan, right? So this is the full on stars and scrubs, which is Russ, Ish Smith, Avery Bradley, Nick Batum, Stanley Johnson, Boyan, AD, Larry Nance, and JoJo. Now, let's say I want to get off of JoJo and I want to upgrade. This is a pretty easy pivot for me. I think I would go down to a guy like Clint Capella, and then I could go up to Boyan and go to a guy like Harrison Barnes. So those are two really, that's one way to do that. And you can even upgrade Nick Batum to Tim Hardaway Jr., which I don't mind doing because I don't really know. I think they have similar range of outcomes, and I don't know how healthy Nick Batum's elbow is, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know if that's bothering him. So I would rather play a healthy player in THJ. You know, even if it is against Miami, I know that he's going to get 30 minutes and that he's not hurt. And if he gets Waiters defense, that's great. So yeah, this is the different one. This is just Avery Bradley, a THJ, Harrison Barnes, and Clint Capella. That's a little bit more on the balanced side. And of course, you know, you can flip flop Capella out for Boogie, and then you just have to find another point guard that you like at 7,700, which I would really like to be able. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie's nice there. I think Spencer Dinwiddie is in a good spot, and then maybe you upgrade elsewhere. You know, maybe you upgrade THJ at 6,800. You can upgrade him to, you know, Jrue Holiday is interesting, but he's pretty inconsistent. 14-point floor is not ideal for him. You know, maybe you upgrade Ish Smith to you know, Patty Mills against Memphis is interesting. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways that you can do this, guys. There's a lot of ways that you can do this. Fool with it. I think, you know, you're going to see some pretty chalky pieces out here. I think Stanley Johnson, Anthony Davis, you know, or Boogie, Russ, those guys are going to be chalk. Avery Bradley's going to be chalky. It all works. You know, it all works. Hey, good luck. NFL tomorrow. patreon.com/lineuplogic on Friday morning if you want to get involved in the cheat sheets. Patrons, look forward to the cheat sheet tonight. Hey guys, we'll talk to you later.